Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for everybody, so everybody tune in, everybody get involved with the cause. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell everybody in existence, because this is a show for all kinds, all types. You are listening to Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one, the only, accept no substitutions. And on the other side of this line is Organic OK.
He keeps inviting me on the show, and he keeps skipping his colleague. This colleague supposed to be talk, dude. He don't want. How did I get in between? See, I think that you and talk, dude, need to, you know, y'all have different personalities. Y'all need to come together, share more, communicate more, work those things out so we can hear your conversation. People like to hear those conversations from talk, dude. And DJ Butterfly CC's. Something fine. We're going to see that work out pretty good. And now, this is your show. I have to say, excuse myself. I don't mean to get between your conversation and your storytelling. Now I got to say this part right here. This guy loves talking like he's me. You see how this guy talking like he's me? He's trying to make my voice over. I mean, this dude's like a puppet that got caught up in the microwave. This is DJ Butterfly PC show. Now he's on vacation making noise in the background. What are you eating lunch?
I ain't making noises. I'm waiting for this to speak. This is DJ Butterfly Feces here, the one, the only. Now, somebody might ask, how do we meet? I was living in McKinleyville, California. That was my home.
Oh, not McKinleyville.
Where horses have the right of way.
Oh. Yeah, memories. I think about McKinleyville. Anything I say in McKinleyville, I think about it. And it brings me to understand. I feel like I should have left McKinleyville in McKinleyville.
Where horses have the right of way. Now, McKinleyville was a place that had everything. I mean everything. It was the reason that basically I hated to leave, but here's the thing. There wasn't any vacancies. There wasn't any jobs available. Why? Because McKinleyville has everything. Everybody wanted to stay. Everybody wanted whatever. So what did I do? I left. One night I walked out of the house. I've been living there for so long and whatever. I mean, I was an average guy just kind of coasting through life in a way, and I wanted to have something after all the, you know, some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for here, a job, employment, whatever, but what was there to do? Kicked out of the house, and I was mad. I left in anger, and here's the thing. Where was I to go? I thought, oh, my God, I've been thrown out on the street like so many other people. A lot of people get kicked out of the house. A lot of people. And the truth was, I was a vagrant at this point. I thought, oh, God, what am I going to do now? But actually, at first, I was in shock. I mean, it didn't really quite sink in. See, when you kick down the street, you don't realize you're homeless. You see, it doesn't really sink in for a while.
Why not?
But then I went to the woods. Yeah. And then I ran into all of you guys. You were camping out there.
So you're making the joke, the Bigfoot joke. Okay, I see you. Trying to make the joke. I see you.
I must have missed that joke, dang. Anywho, man, I went out there, and I talked to you, and you told me about your crusade, your philanthropy, that you were going around the world picking up garbage. Cleaning up the community, doing all that. And what was I to do? Honestly, and then you asked me to join. You swore me in as DJ Butterfly Feces, and you told me I'd help clean up, pick up the trash, pick up the waste and whatnot. Pick it up. If I could help you, I could join the revolution. Whatever. You said you'd take care of me. You said I'd be in your so your employer, so to speak, and you'd pay me, you know, we'd go all over, we'd stay in motels, hotels, whatever, whatever, travel the world, pay for it. I jumped at the chance. I mean, this wasn't just I was going to be taken care of from now on. I mean, my whole life I wanted to live with a sense of purpose, this importance, doing something vital to life on this planet. I wanted that. And here it was. So there you go. There you go. Hey, what to do? Anywho, what happened was it became something. So I went on the grenade, and then before I know it, we're going from place to place to place all over. We were picking up garbage. We were trying to fight to basically get the housing pod, the little makeshift shack, to sort of for more people to live in and all that. Mainstream, we were trying to get homeless shelters to expand, and we were trying to get the system to do something about the homeless problem, build more places for people to live in, and create more jobs. For God's sakes, do something. Anywho, what had happened was, last episode we were in Washington, D.C., and we still were. You remember that? Washington. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. You got to remember, it was basically built on this really smelly, wet, and cesspool. It's got pretty much more pollution than any place else in America and all that. And there's a vagrancy problem. I told you, one of the worst places to be homeless is anywhere where they got snow. Snow. Snow, snow, snow. Thankfully, it was a little later in the month. It was later in the year. We were doing something. Remember? That was a thing. That was a thing. As we were basically going around picking up garbage, whatever, the grassroots campaign on Nation's Capital, there were people who were fighting to fix the homeless problem. People who were fighting. Fighting like wild animals. Like Comanches. And we decided we were going to join them. Remember, I went to Organic. And I said, could we build a few housing pods around here? What did you tell me? What did you tell me? Well, what he said was, oh, dude. The problem is there ain't going to be a lot of room. I mean, people have, they own sort of land or whatever, and they want, they want to be able to charge money so they can, you know. And the truth is, there ain't enough room for that. They don't want you basically taking up their space, and they hate the idea of putting up a place where they're given some kind of shelter and they can't charge them money for it. I know that, but we've got to change all that. We've got to do so. All right. Why don't we basically try to pick up a little bit more garbage? And there's a lot of garbage in D.C. There's a lot of pollution. It was a polluted place. Man, there's a lot of that going on in D.C. It was disgusting. It was a thing. Man, I was going around, made the effort to pick up trash. And I said, okay, we're on Nation's Cap. We got to do something. We got to basically make it so, homeless people have the right to vote. We got to make it so homeless people have some kind of shelter over them. We got to expand these shelters. America's a richest country. Why is everybody broke? Something was wrong. Something was messed up. Something was just, dang. What to do? Hey, what to do? Can I do something about the pollution? Washington, D.C. is a very polluted place. It was built basically on a cesspool. It's true. And that ain't just about talking about those sleazy politicians or whatever. If I'm talking about the fact that the country, the nation's capital was founded on a swamp. So it does smell bad out there. It really does. I asked, we're picking up garbage. What do we do about, you know, the swamp, whatever? Organic said to me, no, dude. Hold on. Some of that is unavoidable. You know, like, it's okay. It's unavoidable. It's unavoidable. Some of it is unavoidable. That's okay. Some of this is all right. Got to make us a little cleaner. A little cleaner. Finally, when a lot of the trash was picked up, I said, we got to do something about this homeless problem. We got to basically make these shelters bigger. We got to basically build a few more apartment complexes and whatever. And we got to do something about that. We got to do something about that. We got to do something big. What? I know. We got to do something about that. We got to basically make these homeless shelters just a little bit bigger. In a political place, Washington, D.C. is Washington, D.C., so they got to do a lot of things to create a lot of good ink. We will help with the programs to feed the homeless and shelter them. We got involved. And I encourage everybody, every one of you out there, to get involved in and of yourselves. Good. People, see, I've been doing this show, but I feel like a lot of you aren't really getting involved. You're thinking you want to basically wait until election time and vote for some policy. Some policy that's going to help shelter the homeless and whatever. That's going to do all, whatever, but you ain't really doing enough. And maybe the reason, maybe the real reason, is because it all just basically seems so difficult to you. It all just seems so much harder. It all just seems like it would just be simpler and easier to forget the whole thing. Just let it pass, and hopefully some politician is going to do the right thing. That is no way to live. One thing that Organic taught me, and he taught me this, the garbage is going to keep piling up unless we pick it up. The pollution epidemic is going to get worse unless we actually physically roll up our sleeves and do something about it. That is a real thing.
Come on now. Come on. Talk to the people. You're taking breaks in between your bars. Come on. Get this work together.
Well, now, to be fair, I was pausing for dramatic effect. But, yeah. Yeah. Hey, what time is it now? What time is it?
What time is it, man? What time is it? It's 7:44. 1 minute till.
All right. Let me just start by basically saying, listen, I think we basically ought to basically, you know, march on Capitol Hill or something, you know, and tell them, the housing pod exists. We should make it more mainstream, including out here. Make that a thing. Make that something. Make that something. Well, because now really, if it starts here, if we make it legal here, maybe we can do something. I told you how bad things were in L.A., and you know what? In a way, we're basically just as bad in Washington, D.C. Once again, the population of people being thrown on the dang street. And once again, this is a place where it snows. And that's the worst place to be homeless, ain't it? Ain't it?
No. It's not. The worst place to be homeless is starting in your mind as long as your body, as long as the people that you're trying to get free, as long as they disgrace you in your spirit, that's the problem, okay? Because some people feel like they're on their way getting right, and then someone comes along and they break their spirit.
It's 7:45 here on the program. I'm cocooning from the microphone. Please get involved with the cause. Join us on our expedition, saving the planet, helping the homeless. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709.
I don't think, I got a different approach. My approach is, what is the result of what people truly need? I'm not trying to give somebody a housing. Man, come on now. I don't know if that really is the, you know, the answer. I really don't. I really don't. I'm going to do something, but is that really what they need? Of course. I think I would like them to have more than that, personally. Cool.
All right, fine. Let me start. Let me continue. Let me please continue. Now, I remember thinking all I wanted to do, like I said, you got to have some vision. You got to have vision. Brother, I had vision. I mean, I was thinking about basically, okay, we come out here, we try to get them to expand homeless shelters because, you know something, once again, a place where it snows is not a good place to be homeless. That try to get the housing pod to catch on. If basically every housing pod for every vagabond, that's what I call them. That's what my term I term films. Vagabond.
Can I tell you something, sir? Without you talking like a damn DJ promotional box, can I get something through the box? Thank you. This is the thing. Now, for those that actually experience some forms of different types of homeless shelter, they're not all the exact same. So it sounds that people wouldn't even want people even know about them because they feel like they're more worse than being out on the streets to some capacity. Because they're so, I mean, really, they're so vicious at times. Then you have those where people never seen some of these facilities that, you know, how it's set up, how they accommodate, how they take care of the interest of the people and fuel their ability to see change inside of themselves. So that's really where it comes, not getting to a place where they feel more disabled emotionally, physically, because of the condition of the massive groups of people. If you hang on 25, 75, 85, this timetable chart of people worse than you, most of it, and they're sitting here in a sense, eating you alive as anything you try to find a little breath and they eating that, it takes a lot out of you to go somewhere that people are feeding on you. It takes a lot out of you when you don't have the strength to have the will to move on when this place is killing you more than you are killing yourself with the condition. It's more than just people talking about what's going on. Somebody's like somebody trying to tell a person how to lose weight. When people truly lose and people truly do things that's designed, they tell you who is really helping them. Who's truly motivated? Is this the person that sounds like they're talking? Or is it the people that didn't talk so much and had more curiosity to change them as the opposition presented itself? Then you have some of those said, someone speaking up gave me the idea to think about changing, right? So really, what components at the end of the actual results that's really affecting people's internal drive? I would say at moments, playing about that I hear at moments, is how people take their culture and they try to flock on top of black women that are single that in shelters. This man, you'd be surprised. These women come in there and they already have problems already. And they think their problems, they got other people in other cultures that flock on the women, try to give them their paradigm, what's going on in their life, and that thing that didn't work for them, they're trying to experiment on them like some kind of you know, I'm not going to get into the, you know, the science of how they experiment on black people in history, but they, people constantly try to use that same tactics on black single women that come into shelters that could make it. But this person come along and suck all the life. They think that all because they're a woman, this person looking out for their best interest. When you go to a land, you see no opposite sex that you could identify with, and the person around you is running all people off. It's something to that to be said. If you are into the opposite sex and somebody is coming all the men away from you, the man want to use you, it seems like what the person presented to you is the worst of cross-contamination. Worse. Because you want to understand, misery is not just company. Misery is an idea to find somebody that's going to be the backbone to your destruction and give you the uplifting ability. They flock to your kids. I've seen so many women going to different places. I've seen so many women. They was more miserable and more destructive than poison. If you just pour poison directly out of the resources onto the actual waterfall. If you could throw poison onto a waterfall, you imagine poison falling down. Imagine a waterfall of poison you throw in your little poison. That's how dangerous people are. And they flock on these women. I mean, women that's single and these other women come along and just flock and just, my goodness, evil is no level. When you truly see evil butt naked.
There was a lot of that. I was thinking about, you know, once again, Washington, D.C. It's not healthy there. I ain't just talking about dang politics. Once again, it's a polluted place. And I remember asking you, can we basically help the pollution somehow? Can we just talk about the pollution? I talk about litter on the ground. I'm talking about basically all that toxic smog.
You must understand, it's a black hole in these actual people that are destroying people. When a person tell you, what is it? Look at it. What is the infrastructure of what people are? Are they institutional? Think about it. In this land where we at, we are in America, correct?
Keep going.
Okay. Does the government and what the government, opportunity they present, is that government telling you about every ethnicity, every culture? When people say America, they don't say, what do they say America? What do people represent to America, to those outside of America, and other regions? The thing is that gets you when people try to pledge allegiance to their country, and they're not a diplomat, they're not a president, they're not, you know, a prime minister, they don't have they don't have a wealth in investment, they're not in the stock market, they're not in these institutional infrastructure to actually, you know, castrate, you know, racist and biased dictatorship. They don't have that, but then they come as somebody going to, you ever go to a sports game and people leave all kinds of trash everywhere, and then you got the people afterwards that are cleaning up all the trash? And you see it, how the trash and some things are halfway full, some things are completely full, and you see how people wasting something. Then there's the same people wasting something that want something later on, and it's just that kind of cycle. How people look at people on the land that they're on, telling them, because they pledge allegiance to other countries, that gives them empowerment. If the country could use them, they would exterminate them because they're not the words that they want to hear. These people leave other countries as different refugees and for different reasons, and they're trying to pledge this kind of propaganda, cross-contamination, try to insert this kind of violence, mostly violence, and, you know, this kind of stuff is something that is part of the homeless propaganda that people are pushing across the world.
Hey, I was trying to push. I mean, didn't you bring me along on this expedition to help push, to help that greater good?
Hey, you know what's so crazy? You can be helping somebody in their culture. Like, and that's the crazy part. When people are hungry, when you ever thought about when you're hungry, you ever talk about, please feed me culture, or you said, can somebody feed me? What's the difference? That's my point. You got people pushing this political trash. You're emotionally, culturally castrated, and you're trying to plan this as some kind of recycling spirit connection to culturally. And the people that have the money, that's wealthy, that's set up, they ain't messing with you seriously. So stop using some pledge allegiance to some kind of, you know, set up that you're not included in that. And keeping that propaganda going around. That's one of the problems.
All right. Dang. I mean, I was trying to help. I was trying to basically do for that greater good. You know, they did have over there, with as political as they are, they all got to have basically some kind of programs for the homeless. And remember, we were over there trying to get them to expand them, get them to blow them up a little bit big.
What?
Like real big. We were. Where better than our nation's capital, Mr. Organic?
Yes.
We're trying to get basically.
You plug that in, and you say organic. So you plug it in.
Did you like that?
I think what happens is, you see truly what really is implemented into the change and what fuels the desires and the opportunity that people arising from the sunlight of their greatness that's come to life and showing the actual growth that the world have truly been looking to see reflect from the desires that the ancestors have carried on and express their feeling, express the actual picture of the souls that came through the times that we came around and got to live in the blessings of the time, and the message have opened up more for you to share carrying this opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's caring. That's our guest.
I want to thank you all for listening to Cocoon from the microphone here. And wait till you hear tomorrow's exciting conclusion. And you know something? I want to plug somebody. A singer, Maya Harrison. She was born and raised in Washington, D.C. That's her alma mater. That's her native roots, her homeland. Please, what do you take out the next conclusion? What do you see when I decided something I had to do? Check out tomorrow's show, please. I encourage you all.
Maryland, but yeah, got you.
But she was born in Washington, D.C. Born.
You were born. You born in California. But you travel.
No, I wasn't. Well, I was. McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way.
Man, you don't need to work the whole jokes alone, man. Stop tagging along and let the horse be free. Stop being a raggedy fly sucking the gas on the horse backside.
All right.
This is Comedian Organic, okay? Everybody, good night.
Thank you. Good night. Tune in. Check us out. We're all over the web. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. Check us out on the web. Cocooning from the microphone. Thank you, and good night.